Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we sang just a moment ago, you truly are good. And evidence of your goodness is all around us. And so help us to trust in your fatherly care. And today, as we spend time now with you, time sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to these words, to the Sermon on the Mount, help us to trust your word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, good morning. It is good to be here with you today and to have this time together now in God's word. We're continuing with our series titled Lessons from the Mount, where we have had opportunity each week to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen to him teach what is really at the start of his earthly ministry. It's one of the first messages that he begins to bring to the people, teaching us what it means to live under the care and the love of the Father. And so I thought it would be fitting for us to just kind of put ourselves there. This is, again, one of those pictures from when Pastor John, his wife Beth, Trudy, and myself, we were blessed to be able to go and to visit the Holy Land. And we got to go to the place where it's believed that Jesus shared these lessons, this Sermon from the Mount. It is a beautiful place located along the Sea of Galilee. And so this morning, I would like to invite you, along with me, to picture ourselves sitting there at the feet of Jesus and listening to what he wants to teach us. And today, at the heart of the message, it's around the theme of to not be anxious. Do not be anxious. If you have your Bible, would you look with me again at our reading, Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25, the words that Rebecca just read. And notice the first word, therefore. I've said it before, but anytime we see that word, we need to ask ourselves, what is that word there for? And it's there to cause us to look back, to be reminded of what just has come before. What has Jesus just said? What has he been teaching us? In the preceding verses is where Jesus talks about laying up treasures in heaven. Last week, Pastor John and Scott Ernstmeyer both shared around these words, reminding us again of the importance of trusting God. Here, Jesus talks about money, finances, stuff, treasures. But really what he's talking about is where is our heart in all of this? And it's in the very next part of the sermon then that he talks about not being anxious. And so it should not be a surprise to us who maybe ourselves have had a little bit of stress, a little bit of anxiety when it comes to finances, when it comes to money. But here's the thing. Worry, anxiety, it's not just reserved for those who are trying to make ends meet. Worry and anxiety is also a struggle for those who have more than enough. And sometimes, maybe it's even more of a struggle. So the reality is that worry and anxiety is something we all deal with, and Jesus knows this. There's a rabbinic saying that goes something like this: lots of property, lots of worry. The more we have sometimes results in more worry. The struggle of worry and anxiety is universal. We all, to some degree, worry. We all, at times, feel anxious. Yes, we, at times, worry about our bills and our budget. But we also worry about things like our health and the health of our family. We also worry about our kids. I've heard it said that as a parent, worrying sometimes feels like a full-time job. And speaking of jobs, we also worry about our work, we worry about relationships, we worry about our safety, we worry about our future, we worry about, I'll just let you fill in the blank. What is it that you have, or maybe you are worrying or anxious about? Maybe it's true for you. I know it's been true for me. Sometimes I even worry about worrying. It's crazy. It's a vicious cycle. Now, to feel worry and anxiety, they are, to an extent, normal parts of being human. However, to feed that worry and anxiety leads to bondage. And I know this all too well. I have been open and honest about this. I have struggled with anxiety for most of my life, when I was young and when I've been older, and still even as a pastor. And there have been times in my life, my adult life, and even as a pastor, that I would use the word paralyzing. That's the extent of what the anxiety has been. And I'll tell myself, I don't want to think that way, I don't want to feel that way, but you can't stop it. Anxiety, worry, these things that affect our lives. Often, worry is about tomorrow. Have you ever noticed that? Even when we worry about things from the past, we're worrying about how it's going to affect us in our future. And so all of worry is about tomorrow. And yet, when is all of worry experienced? It's today. It's in the here and the now. Listen for a moment to what Max Lucado, author and pastor, has to say in his book titled Anxious for Nothing. He says, the word anxious defines itself. It is a hybrid of angst and shus. Angst is a sense of unease. Shus is the sound I make on the 10th step of a flight of stairs when my heart beats fast and I run low on oxygen. I can be heard inhaling and exhaling, sounding like the second syllable of anxious, which makes me wonder if anxious people aren't just that. People who are out of breath because of the angst of life. Let me read that again. I cannot help but wonder if anxious people aren't just that, people who are out of breath because of the angst of life. Anxiety takes our breath away, for sure. But it also takes away our sleep. It takes away our energy. It takes away our well-being. It takes away our peace. It takes away our joy. And Jesus knows this. In the book, The Narrow Path, listen to what the author says. He writes, ruminating on potential trouble chokes the life out of many people. And Jesus knows this. He knows the world with all of your responsibilities, your worries, your fears, your hopes, and he wants to let some oxygen into the room. Do any of you know one of the things that helps when you're feeling anxious? What are you supposed to do? Take a breath. Breathe. Take a big, deep breath. Inhale slowly. Exhale slowly. It helps. Breathing helps. And so today, around this topic, I'd like us to just slow down for a little bit. Take a deep breath. Inhale. Exhale. And let's breathe in what Jesus has to say. If you have your Bibles, look with me again at the words that Rebecca read. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Those words of Jesus, O you of little faith, I don't believe they are meant to be condemning words. They are words of care. They are words motivated by love. And what I love about this passage of Scripture, what I love about Jesus' words, is what Jesus is saying, and he's using birds of the air, flowers of the field as examples to let us know that God the Father has placed reminders of his care all around us. Everywhere we look in this world, we see reminders of God's care. You can even look to the right and to left today, those of you seated with your families, and you can see examples of the blessings that God has provided and a reminder of that continued care. A couple of past weeks, Pastor Andy preached his part of the Sermon on the Mount, and he talked about living under the Father's care. And Jesus is continuing to express that even in this section here today. And so we are invited to remember, to slow down, to take a deep breath, to remember God's faithfulness in the past, to remember and to notice God's care that is all around us, and then to give thanks. It has been proven, I've said this before, that two things cannot exist in our mind, our human brain, at the same time. And those two things are worry and thanksgiving. They cannot exist at the same time. And so when we find ourselves worrying and being anxious, one of the ways to cope with that is to be still, to breathe, to remember, and in particular, God's faithfulness. Because remembering God's faithfulness in the past allows us to trust him in the present. And sometimes where anxiety can be, as I said, paralyzing, it is this reminder of God, his faithfulness, his promise to be near to us, his continued care that allows us to move as we follow him by faith. One of my go-to passages of Scripture in these anxious moments is Philippians 4:4-7, where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident, known to all." And then he says this promise, "The Lord is near." And he says, "Do not then be anxious or worrisome about anything, but instead, through your supplications, through your prayers, through your remembering, give thanks to God. Thank him for what he's done. Tell him what you need, and know that God will provide for you a peace that is beyond human understanding, a peace that will guard and protect our hearts, our minds, our lives as we trust in God." That peace beyond human understanding, it's a peace unlike the world. It's a peace that comes not after the struggles of life. No, it's a peace that comes to us even in the most difficult of moments. meaning we can be dealing with worry and anxiety and stress and despair, all of these things, and yet we can be at peace. It doesn't make human sense, but it's a peace from God that guards and protects our hearts and our minds. You see, in dealing with worry and anxiety, Jesus doesn't give us a formula to follow. Instead, it's a simple invitation to seek God, to seek the kingdom of God that Jesus has brought near to us. If you have your Bibles, look with me again, Matthew 6, verse 31. Notice there's that word again, therefore, on account of the things that you've just heard, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Verse 33, if you're taking notes in your journal, if you're marking in your Bibles, make sure you mark this verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do you notice what Jesus is doing here? He's drawing the hearers back to where he began the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. The reminder that we are blessed not because of who we are or what we do or what we don't do, not because of who we are or what we don't have, not because of where we look for value in the world around us. No, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. What we need to remember more than anything else is that God first sought us. Think about that for a moment. And then listen to what Max Lucado says again in the book, Do Not Be Anxious, Anxious About Nothing. Gratitude, he says, that posture of being still, breathing, remembering, giving thanks, gratitude leads us off the riverbank of if only and escorts us into the fertile valley of already. The anxious heart says, Lord, if only I had this, that, or the other, I'd be okay. But the grateful heart says, oh, look, seek. Seek the Lord. Seek God's kingdom. Look, Lord, you have already given me this, that, and the other. And so, thank you. Thank you, God. More than anything, what we are or should be giving thanks for is Jesus coming near to us to give thanks for his suffering and his dying and rising again, because what that means is that no matter what we are anxious or worrying about, Jesus has already overcome all of those things. And where we at times look to the things of the world to find value and worth, we don't have to look any further than the cross and the empty tomb, and to know that our value comes from God. A God who loves us so much that the Father was willing to send his only Son. He is one who loves us so much that the Son was willing to give his own life. Today we have opportunity to witness the waters of holy baptism, and there we are reminded, just like Mason, that our value, our worth, our identity comes from who God says that we are, his children, children of the Heavenly Father, children who are deeply loved. And so our last verse, Matthew 6, 34, one more time, we have the word, therefore. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus knows that sometimes we can get a little bit ahead of ourselves in life. Jesus knows that sometimes we like to dwell on the what ifs. Jesus knows that sometimes we like to worry about anything and everything, including worry itself. And so Jesus invites us to change our focus, to seek God, to seek his kingdom, to slow down, to take a deep breath, to remember God's thankfulness, to give thanks to God, to seek him, to trust his promise to be with us, and to trust this, that what we have in Christ is far greater than what we don't have in this life. Let me end with these words. Jesus' invitation for us today to seek first the kingdom of God is to view God in a new light, one marked by compassionate care, living under the care of the Father. And it means that we view even our possessions through a lens, seeing them as gifts to be shared and stewarded for the blessing of others, rather than things to be stockpiled. And it means we look at our lives with a fresh perspective, seeing ourselves as beloved children of God, children who have in Christ Jesus more than what we don't have in this life. Some questions I'd like to leave with you to reflect on. If you want to write those down in your journal, we'll put them up again at the end of the service today. Who or what is determining your value? As you remember God's faithfulness in the past, what is something he wants you to give him thanks for? And how can you seek Jesus this week? To him and him alone be praise, glory, and honor, and all of God's people said, amen.